In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? We choose freedom. The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win.
I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
From Australian wildfire conservationist Steve Irwin's death to Sweet Valley High hitting our screens, Ciarán O'Connor is here to look back on pop culture history for this week. So on this day, in a good few years, you've pulled up from the dredges.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this. You just never know where we're going to go. And let's go back by going to just outside Manhattan, Rockville, New Jersey. We're going back this week, 55 years, when the first ATM came into our lives. Something that we all know very much so. So there's a million of them around the world. However, this week it was announced by a bank that they were going to open at 9 a.m. and never close again. And that's exactly what happened in New Jersey, in Rockville. And when the DocuTeller came into their lives and now our lives, it was Donald Wells's company called DocuTel. They were a baggage handling equipment company. And from there, they created an ATM that was fully automatic, involved no people. All you needed was a plastic card with a magnetic strip, which we know of now. Prior to this, I guess there was kind of ATMs around the world, but it was done with a teller behind a video screen. So it was kind of like Zoom, but to get your money out, you had to speak to them through it. And from there on, we have 1 million ATMs now around the world. So that invention changed our lives forever.
And ATMs are almost going out of fashion now as we carry a lot less cash. Like, I hate when I have to go to an ATM. I don't know if the pandemic made me back into a germaphobe again, but, you know, I just think of the buttons and the cash, and I just don't like that because we just tap for everything now. So they're nearly on their way out, I'd say.
I think 100% they are on their way out. It seems to be slowly going a thing of the past. And as you said, I think it was COVID that kind of did change ATMs for worse or better.
Well, I had become a germaphobe after, I think it was hand, foot and mouth, and I got really conscious of washing my hands, and I had just come back to saying, listen, you have an immune system, don't be silly, you can eat your sandwich in the car, it's okay. And then the pandemic hit and I went straight back down the stakes and ladders. But ATMs were, the first ATM went into production, or people could access the first ATM on this day way back when.
55 years ago.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's incredible. Right. People might recognize this clip.
At first, you know, most everybody we talked to, the bankers, you know, they thought, man, we got tellers. You know, we don't need a mechanical teller.
Right.
So we had to convince them otherwise, that there were many other benefits and you'll get more new accounts. And
that was the creator of ATMs, just speaking about ATMs and how great they are. And here we are. But let's go back 51 years this week. 1973. People might remember this movie. The Lord of the Rings, a movie a lot of people are familiar with, as well as The Hobbit. However, we're not here to talk about the movies. We're here to talk about the author. And we're going back 51 years, this week, 1973, when J.R.R. Tolkien passed away at the age of 81. A guy who is, I guess, identified as the father of modern fantasy literacy. And that's what he kind of did when he brought us The Hobbit back in 1937. Something, have you read The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings?
No, they look a little bit wordy for me.
Very wordy. Have you even watched them?
I'm not even into the fantasy genre that much. I think I've seen some of the Lord of the Rings movies. Mm. Gollum, I think we all know him.
Yeah.
So I have a vague recollection, but They seem long-winded to me as well.
They are quite long-winded. For you, maybe, and myself. However, there's millions
hugely
of people
popular
out there who will totally disagree. The Hobbit started out as a very small print run, 1,500 copies, going on to sell 100 million copies around the world. So that just shows the popularity of it. Similar, Lord of the Rings, 150 million copies sold all around the world. A fantastic author, as I said, the father of modern fantasy literature. It was after his death then as well, his son Christopher released even more of his work, just bringing us deeper into the fantasy world and so on and so forth.
And I do always think, like, what a mind to come up with all of that. I mean, you know, the same with like Harry Potter or any of those, like how these people have these imaginations and it just flows out of their fingers. So look, there's no question that he was an incredible man who wrote incredible stories that were incredibly successful. We're in the minority. The text line is already going crazy with Lord of the Rings is great. You're both mad. Yeah. So we'll take that on. We're going a little bit more modern though. Sons of Anarchy debuted on this day when?
Yeah, 19 years. This week, 19 years ago, Sons of Anarchy, a TV show that started out on FX over in the US on Netflix and Ladder Life. So popular, it was reaching 4.9 million weekly viewers, which is a massive. Sons of Anarchy following an outlaw motorcycle club. Charlie Hunnam played Jax, and it was all about him trying to figure out life, and did he want to be part of this club and part of this brotherhood, and did he agree with what they were doing? A massive show, so much it got a spin-off series, The Mayans Motorcycle Clubs, and the show ended then in 2014 after a couple of series.
I mentioned in the introduction, Steve Irwin died on this day. When? And that was huge because he was so popular and he died in such dramatic circumstances.
Yeah, I kind of, when I was coming up with this, I couldn't actually believe it was 18 years since Steve Irwin was killed. Yeah, the Australian zookeeper, television presenter who kind of came to fame back in the 90s as the Crocodile Hunter, that TV show we all remember. But he did die 18 years ago at the age of 44 when a stingray barb pierced his chest and caused massive trauma. He was in the middle of filming an underwater documentary called Ocean's Deadliest. And that's when he passed away. As I said, massive fame in the 90s as the Crocodile Hunter, co-owned Australia Zoo over in Queensland. So much so, there was a massive public memorial ceremony following his passing. The whole zoo, the 5,000-seater auditorium, that was filled out with people who wanted to attend, and 300 million viewers around the world watched that ceremony. That's how popular it was.
Incredible. Right. Do you remember this TV theme tune? Now, people are going to scoff at what I had to say about J.R.R. Tolkien because I read all of these books and watched that series. So you're getting an insight into my mind.
Well, the Francine Pascal books you're talking about, the 181 of them that made up the novel series, Sweet Valley High, which then transformed into the TV show. And that's what we're talking about now. 30 years ago is when Sweet Valley High came to Disney and Fox over in the US. Over here, it was BBC One and Disney Channel that people may remember watching it on many moons ago. But the series that revolved around the lives of Elizabeth and Jessica, the twins from Sweet Valley, a fictional town in California. And it was all about them and their gang of friends and their trials and tribulations. And that's what we got an insight into over 88 episodes across four seasons.
A little bit of bubblegum pop. Right, we're getting tight on time. We're going to fly through number ones on this day.
Yeah, let's go back a couple of years ago. You may remember this was number one in Ireland.
That was the big one because wasn't there a battle between her and Victoria Beckham for the top spot?
A massive battle. Out of Your Mind was the Victoria Beckham song, her first song she released after Spice Girls. And this came on the scene, Italian electronic music producer Spiller teaming up with Sophie Ellis-Bextor. That was number one in the year 2000 this week.
Wow. And then we're going to go to the UK.
Yeah. A banger that everyone will remember. Whether it's an Irish wedding, Copperface Jacks, everyone knows this song. A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need. Yeah, number one this week in the UK.
A classic.
Can you remember the year?
No.
No. 1990 is when Lou Bega brought us Mambo Number 5. He sampled an original Mambo jazz classic, and that was the summer hit of 1999, following right through to the year as well.
And finally, what was number one in the US?
In the US, 1977 is when we're going back to the US. This was number one this week in history. B. the Emotions, Best of My Love. That song since has been sampled. A lot of people may know it. A now current song, Paul Russell samples that. A song composed by members of Earth, Wind and Fire for the Emotions, and a classic that it was.
Another classic. Thank you very much for bringing us back in time, Kieran O'Connor there.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? We choose freedom. The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win.
I'ma keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Paid for by Harris for President.